Well, I will offer myself. I'm going to tell you, without God, I can't do anything. I do know this. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, just a young minister, and he said, preach the word. And he wrote, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that we preached, let him be accursed. So the word, that the only thing, if God lets me do anything here tonight, it won't be imagination. It won't be opinion. Yeah. It will be the word. And I ask the Lord regularly, before I do anything, before I would do anything that would cause the Lord to take His Spirit from me, I would rather die. I'd rather just go on. But He said, preach the word. Be instant. Be ready. Be present. In season. Out of season. When it's convenient, when it's not convenient. Reprove. That is, use this word of God to convict that which is wrong and that which being done is wrong. Rebuke, not necessary to have so much of that, but every once in a while there are those. Brother Rusty mentioned the signs. Over in the 16th chapter of the book of Mark, Jesus gave five signs that would follow them that believe. One of them is they shall speak with new tongues. One of them is they shall take up serpents. And I want you to recognize when Jesus gave those signs that will follow believers, they are signs and they are not for a show. And I made mention, you know, some people... you know, another one of the signs is if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Every time in the Word of God, starting from the time that Moses went up to that burning bush, this taking up a serpent. And anytime, I think the last time I was over here, I made mention that anytime that a man that God begins to deal with, Brother Langston, in the ministry, when God begins to deal with him in the ministry, the first thing that he's going to do is he's going to begin to make some excuses. And that's exactly what Moses did over there at that bush when he met with the Lord, and he told him that he was going to send him to deliver those children of Israel that were in bondage over there. He began to make excuses. The people won't believe me. I'm not a eloquent, I'm a slow of tongue. People won't believe me. And God looked at him and said, what is that in your hand? And Moses said, it's a staff. He said, throw it down. He threw that staff down and it became a serpent. And God said, take it up. This is the first time that that sign was ever used in the Word of God. And again, I want you to understand, every time that this is done, it is for a sign and not to be made a show out of. He took that serpent up and it became a staff in his hand, and it was a sign then for that man of God that God was sending to let him know, I'm with you and my power is with you. The next time that that sign manifests itself, Brother Lonnie, was when he went over there to the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he went in and he did an eye, and I want you to listen to the word of God now. He went in amongst the Pharaoh and his magicians. Those magicians in this day and time would represent false teachers, false doctrines. Moses cast that staff down there before Pharaoh and his magicians, and Pharaoh's magicians cast down their staffs and they became serpents. Now what happened? Moses' serpent, that staff that he threw down, ate up those magicians, a real sign, consumed and destroys the false sign. Every time Moses' serpent ate up the false serpent, the false sign, And it was a sign one more time so that those people there, that Pharaoh and everybody that followed after him, would know that this is a man of God. The next time that we see that particular sign following after anybody, oh, Paul's over there and he's been in a shipwreck. He's been made a prisoner. I want you to understand this. Serving God isn't always being carried away, Sister Carolyn, on flower beds of ease. Sometimes there's some persecution that goes along with this. Sometimes it's so that the Word of God can be furthered. Oh, Paul's over there. He's been shipwrecked. He swam to shore. Everybody's on shore. And the holiness preacher is out there gathering up wood for a fire. And as he's gathering up the wood for the fire, an old venomous beast, that old serpent, comes out and attaches itself to his hand. And those people on that island that looked, and they said, look at this man. Surely he's an evildoer. Surely he was lawless. He's escaped to sea. And now this serpent has attached itself to him, and now he's going to die. Oh, Paul just took that serpent, shook it off into the fire, and they watched. He didn't even begin to swell up. They expecting him to fall dead any moment. This is a sign. Do you understand what I'm telling you? After he didn't fall over dead, they looked and said, this man is a god. You see, it was a sign for those people so that they would recognize this man is the power of God. Then they come to him and they get him to go and pray for one of them. I believe it was his father-in-law. He was sick of what the Word of God calls a bloody flux. He had an intestinal disease, probably something like Ebola. Oh, Paul went in there and prayed for him and he was healed. I got another sign for you. Now you go back over and listen to me now. The Word of God says, let God be true and every man be a liar. And I want you to understand, every one of us are going to die. Every one of us are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. This Word of God is going to be opened. The books are going to be open. It is appointed unto men once to die. After this, the judgment. We all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We must give an account for the deeds done in our body, whether they be good or evil. And like Brother Lonnie said, when you get there, Mama ain't going to be able to do anything for you. Daddy, Granddaddy, they might have had the Holy Ghost. God might have proved them over and over again. But I want you to know how you leave here, how you stand before God. And I don't care about the rest of your family. I don't care about any of that. We're talking about every one of us are going to come before the judgment. Every one of us are going to die. You walk by, you drive by out here, you look at all of the people out there in the headstones and the tombstones in the cemetery, and you tell me, do you think you're getting out of here alive? Absolutely not. And if dying and laying over in the grave was all that there was to it, and that's where you just lay for eternity, I want you to know that'd be all right. But I want you to know that there is going to be a resurrection. All that are in the graves are going to hear the voice of the Lord, and they are going to come forth. Some to eternal righteousness, some to eternal damnation. How are you going to stand? Won't make any difference where anybody else is at and how they stand. Jesus gave these signs. Open your Bible up. You open the Word of God up and you see what the Word of God says. And I want you to understand this. Ignorance is not going to be an excuse. Over in the first chapter of the book of Romans, Paul listed a bunch of things that are listed as unrighteousness. One of them is to be without knowledge. This Word of God is here so that men and women can understand what it is going to take to make it into the gates of heaven. Another sign, since we're on signs, and I certainly didn't have signs on my mind. Another sign that he gave They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Let me go back just a second. Why was it necessary? We don't even have record in the Word of God of anybody ever drinking any poison. But one of the signs Jesus gave that will follow them that believe. And I want you to ask yourself, do any of these signs follow you? Any? If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Back in those days, the king wouldn't even eat his meal without having a taste tester there just to test the food to see if somebody had slipped in there and slipped some poison in it. And do you remember how they hated Jesus? Do you remember they were before they took him and crucified him? Do you remember how many times they would have loved to have put him to death? In the same way, thank God, after... if they could have got by with it, they'd have poisoned him just as sure as the world if it would have worked. But this sign will follow them that believe. After he was crucified and after he rose from the grave and he ascended into the heavens, the church fell under great persecution. And they hated those apostles and they hated those children of God. And don't you know that they wanted to kill them, but the people loved them so much they would have loved to kill them. They were afraid to do it openly and they could have come by and slipped some poison into their food or into the drink. And then once again, they're looking at them and they're waiting for them to die. And they're saying, this has no effect. That's the reason that that sign was put in there, but we have no record. And I want you to know, how many times, children of God, have you looked on the television and they're doing some kind of a documentary about holiness and they got a bunch of people up there that don't know how to dress themselves properly and they got a tooth. That's why they got a toothbrush. They got just a few teeth in their head and they got a bunch of snakes and they're making a show out of it. And they're drinking strychnine and they're making a show out of it. I want you to know God isn't anywhere near that, and that is not the sign that God put there. God, every time it is not, these signs are not for a show, but they are for a sign, and they will work when God says for them to work. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Any of these signs follow you? I got something to tell you about that here in just a moment. I'll have you to know, if something's following me, brother, and I ought to be able to look back there and see it back there, back behind me somewhere, shouldn't I? My little grandson, I got more than one of these. My little grandson, a while back, he's just a little fella. He's probably 5 or 6 years old. He was at the house. I'm out there mowing on my lawnmower. Melissa comes out there. Eli's sick. I want you to come in and pray for him. I went in to pray for him. The boy's laying there on my bed, and he's just crying out in pain. And I got there beside that bed, and I began to call on God, and it seemed like I couldn't get anywhere, Sister Carolyn. But I kept praying. And finally I was like, well, I guess we're just going to have to take the boy to the doctor. But I kept calling on the Lord. And in just a little while, the power of God fell. My hands went on him and instantly he got relief. A little while back, my wife, she had fell and hurt her knee. And she felt like that she was going to have to go back and have knee surgery again. She was getting ready to make an appointment for over there at Sports Med over in Huntsville. She got up. I didn't even know the night before she had a crutch. She was walking around through the house. I didn't know if she had it, but she got up. It was a Saturday morning, I guess. And she was just nearly in tears with how bad her knee was hurting her. And she went on in there. And my wife, I want you to know this, is not a complainer. She went on into the loft and she sat down in there, and I was sitting there reading my Bible, and I'm going to tell you something. I felt just about this big. I hear people, Sister Carolyn, saying, well, you know, I just don't feel like I can do anything. I feel so small before the Lord. That's good, because when you're down like that, that's when God can use you. And when you're exalted, God can't do anything with you because you think that it's all up to you and in your hands. They that are exalted, he said, would be abased, and they that are abased will be exalted. And I felt just about this big. But I am a child of the living God. Received the baptism of the Holy Ghost the 16th day of September 1994. And I want you to know, I have not committed one sin since then. Well, that's a pretty bold statement. Yes, it is a pretty bold statement. But I'm going to tell you what I do not do. Before I received the Holy Ghost, I was one of the best liars that you'd ever want to, if you can call one a best liar. I'd lie when the truth would do. But I'll tell you, a holiness man, a child of God, man or woman, does not commit sin. Listen to the Word of God over there, 1 John. Open your Bible. You see what the Word of God says. 1 John 3:8-9. Whosoever commits sin is of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. You understand the word manifest is to be made known. How are the children of God and the children of the devil made known? Children of the devil commit sin. Children of God do not commit sin. Period. I'm talking to you the Word of God, and I am not talking to you imagination here tonight. I'm going to tell you something. Imagination is going to carry a whole bunch of people down to a devil's hell, and false teachers are going to carry a bunch of them down there. If a man tells you that he commits sin more or less every day, you believe him, but don't you follow him, because Jesus said, if the blind follow the blind, then they'll both fall in the ditch. And he said, you shall know a tree by his fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth corrupt fruit, and a corrupt tree can't bring forth good fruit. Ye shall know a tree by his fruit. What kind of fruit should a child of God be bringing forth? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, the fruit of the Spirit, 5th chapter of Galatians. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, patience. Against such, the Word of God says, there is no law. Brethren, if there was no law out here on the highway, I could drive as fast as I wanted to out there, and I wouldn't ever have to worry about the police. Officer Privet over there, the Alabama State Trooper, pulling me over again, because there ain't no law out there. I can do as much of it as I want to, and against those things, there is no law. What kind of fruit does a corrupt tree bring forth? In a word, sin. Back to my wife. And these signs shall follow them that believe. I walked in there, and she was sitting there in the loft, and I feel just about this big. I didn't know it, but I was in perfect shape for God to let his sign follow after me. I say, would it be okay if I pray for you? And I mean, I hadn't even got that out of my mouth good, Brother Eric. The power of God fell on me, and I laid my hands on her. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. If they don't recover, that's not the sign, is it? In a few minutes, I went on back in there. I knelt down there and I prayed for her. I went on back into my bedroom, and I'm sitting there in a few minutes. She's up walking around in the bedroom. She is shocked. She can't even believe that all of that pain is gone. And I might have heard her mention her knees. I'm not going to mention her age, but people have pain in their knees after a little while. I don't want to get in trouble here. But I want you to know that pain, God healed it instantly. Now I want to ask you a question. Do any of these signs that Jesus Christ, the one that was sent into this world, and let me just say this, he gave us an example that we should follow His steps. That what? Did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. He wouldn't even speak deceitfully. Now I want to ask you a question. Since we're talking the Word of God here, do any of those signs, any of them, follow you? If they don't, then I want you to know something. My name's Tim Patrick. I'm the pastor over at the Valamosa Holiness Church, in case you don't know me. You're not an unbeliever because I say so. If none of those signs aren't following you, never have followed you, then you are an unbeliever because Jesus Christ says so. Now, every once in a while, we get back to the rebuking. Every once in a while, somebody, and this hadn't happened in a long time, but people want to drag the snake up into the church. They want to make a show out of it. And the heretic has to be rebuked, and rebuked sharply, because we will have no such thing. Now, preach the word, be instant, in season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Sometimes there needs to be some calling people to you and encouraging them, doesn't it? And that's what I really wanted to get down here to tonight, is you people that are lost, I want to get down to encouraging you. But I'm going to tell you something. But before I go on, I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to exhort you. You open up the Word of God, and you see if any of those signs, 16th chapter of Mark, starting at the 17th verse, if any of those signs follow you, not every one of them, any of them. Over here in the first Timothy, the first chapter, and I want to get down to encouraging you people that are in the altar. Y'all get enough discouragement. I know what it is to be seeking the Lord. Jacob, first thing I want to say, you know the devil probably told him how far away he is from the Lord. I was standing right back here a while ago, and all that I had to do was just step up like the Lord told me to, and I was right in the presence of the Lord. It was right there beside Him. And the devil telling me, oh, you're so far off from the Lord. Wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, touching and agreeing, there I'd be in the midst. You people are not afar off from the Lord. He's right here, and you are not waiting on Him. He's waiting on you to repent. Brother Lonnie said, I kept looking at people in this altar and I couldn't understand why they weren't receiving the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you why. They hadn't repented. And until you repent, except you repent, you're going to keep leaving here lost. The old devil will tell you, you can't have it. And if he can't get you to believe that one, he'll tell you, if you receive the Holy Ghost, you can't live it. Told me the same lie right out of his mouth. I've had the Holy Ghost nearly 25 years, still living it. The Apostle Paul said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me for that. And again, these false teachers, whoever their enabler is, it is not Christ Jesus. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful and putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This, and this is what I want y'all to understand, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And Paul isn't talking about his present life. He's talking about his past life, because before he was Paul, his name was Saul. And he was a Pharisee, and he said of the strictest sect. And when people began to receive the Holy Ghost, he went about persecuting the church. He went out and he drug men and women out of their homes, and he cast them in the prison. And he was standing there when they went to stone Stephen, and they laid their clothes at Saul's feet, and he consented. He gave his consent to the stoning of a child of God, a man that was full of the Holy Ghost and a man that was full of wisdom. And he had warrants, and he was on his way to Damascus to arrest the children of God. And the Lord appeared unto him and knocked him down and said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And Jesus spoke to him and said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." He went on to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. No longer was he persecuting the children of God, but his name became Paul, and he wrote the greatest part of this New Testament church. And he was made an example and a pattern so that you might believe and might understand that you could have forgiveness. The only thing that I know of that a man or a woman cannot have forgiveness of is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. If you speak one word against the Holy Ghost, or if you receive the Holy Ghost and you turn back to sin, there is no more sacrifice for sin. You won't receive forgiveness in this world, neither in the world to come, but short of that. And Paul was going out and he was dragging holiness people out. He was watching them be stoned to death and consenting to it. And can't you just see him over there? And he's dragging those people, those holiness people, Brother Langston, out of their house and their little children begging, "Don't take my mama and daddy." And he received forgiveness. And I want you to understand that forgiveness of sin, Jesus did not come into this world and give his life so that when it came down to asking forgiveness, that he was going to be hard and say, "I just don't know about that forgiving you." Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. Let me get over here to the Word of God. I'm in the 8th chapter of the book of John now. I want you to know forgiveness is not your problem. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So, you come down into this altar and you ask him to forgive you, then you can depend on him forgiving you. But there's a little bit more to it than that. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou?" This they said unto him, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Now under the law that they were under then, the law was that the adulterer and the adulteress should be stoned. So if she was caught in the very act, where was the man? And Jesus, and they're looking to have him so that he'll contradict the law, and Jesus just stoops down and he begins to write on the ground. And we don't know what he wrote. He might have been writing, "Where is the man?" He might have been writing, "Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." But he just acted like he didn't hear him, and they just kept pressing him. So when they continued asking him, he lifted himself up and said unto them, now this is the Pharisees and the scribes, the one that Jesus called a bunch of hypocrites. They looked great and their actions were good on the inside, but on the outside, but on the inside, they were just as filthy as they could be. So when they continued asking him, he lifted himself up and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted himself up and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, and can't you just see her having been drug in there and shamed? And all of these that have accused her have by one have gone out. And can't you just see her standing there left with Jesus? Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? No man, Lord. Listen to what your Savior said. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Jesus never told us to do anything that it was impossible for us to do. And if you've been coming to this altar, you might have been going to the altar for 25 or 30 years. You might not have ever been to the altar, but either way, I want you to understand this. When his cousin John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, he came preaching, repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. When Jesus, after he received the Holy Ghost and he was led of the Spirit out in the wilderness and he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he came forth preaching. And what was he saying? Listen to me. Hey, the devil has got salvation in your mind so cluttered up and confused that it's absolutely impossible to you. But don't let anybody deceive you or beguile you from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. This is a simple thing to do. Jesus came forth preaching, repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I want you to understand repentance. Repentance is not saying, I'm sorry for the things that I have done. Repentance is turning away from sin in your heart, meaning that you will never do them again. I'll tell you this, and I'm going to get out of the way. From the time and I went, I may have been to the altar before I really understood what it was going to take for men and women to receive salvation. But when I began to go to the altar and I began to seek God, and the greatest thing that God ever did for me besides give me the Holy Ghost is he brought the fear of God down on me. He let me know that he was real, and he let me know that if he was real, Sister Audrey, that that place that's called torment, that place called hell, it's just as real, and he, God, glory to God, as that place called heaven. All that God wanted from me, from the time that I started, and all that he's wanted from you, you have to believe that he is, because without faith it's impossible to please God. You have to believe that he is God, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. A careful, continuous, not ever-ending search until he be found of you. But all that he is wanting you to do, hey, except you repent, you're going to perish. You got to believe He's God, and you have got to repent. You have got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the very foundation of Christianity, that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Except you repent, you're going to perish. From the time that I started to the night that I received the Holy Ghost, all God wanted me to do was to repent. The night that I received Him, there in my bedroom down there on River Road, I began to contend with the Lord, and when I knelt down, I couldn't feel Him anywhere. And I began to call on God from out of the depths of my heart. And when I began to talk to Him, Jacob, from my heart, He began to let me feel that good quickening power of God. And I knew that it was from the throne of God, and I knew that it was the Lord. And I knew that if I hadn't received the Holy Ghost, it wasn't the Lord's fault, that it was my fault, and there was something lacking. And there's something lacking with you. If you hadn't received the Holy Ghost, there's something lacking. And I began to contend with Him, and in a little while, the liberty of God came down on me. And old David, when they brought that Ark of the Covenant back into the city there after it had been ghosted gone so long, and he began to dance mightily unto the Lord, I thought for a little while that was the dance that I was doing, and I'll just let the power of God use me any way that it wanted to. But I began to ask the Lord, why have I not received the Holy Ghost? In a little while I saw things that I had done. And his question to me was not, was I sorry for having done them? His question was, are you ever going to do these things again? I looked at every one of them and I said, no, 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 I won't be going against my God. And I might have told him I wouldn't have done these things before, but this time I meant it from the depths of my heart, and I meant that I would die. I'm talking to you about what repentance is by the Word of God. I meant that I would die before I went back and did those things again. And I was standing there with my hands up, and I can't even tell you then whatever I was praying after that. But just exactly like the Word of God said. He said over there in the second chapter of the book of Acts, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. I will pour out. The Holy Ghost fell on me. God recognized what I had done as repentance. The Holy Ghost fell on me. My tongue began to move under the power of God. And I thank God, Brother Lonnie, that I knew exactly what I had. And people think that the windows are going to blow out of the house and the roof is going to come off. I want you to tell you that is not the way the Holy Ghost comes in. The Holy Ghost comes in just as peaceful and just as gentle. My tongue was moving under the power of God, and I didn't have anything to do with it. And the Lord let me down just as gentle on my knees, and I knew that I was a child of the living God and that I had received the Holy Ghost. I got up and I turned on that bedroom light. I want to ask you a question. You tell me what it is that you're getting out of life that you could call joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I'll answer that for you. Absolutely nothing, but that's what this Holy Ghost salvation is. Oh, I had sought, listen to me now. I had sought out there from the time that I was just a little boy, Brother Rusty. I got out when I was about 11, 12 years old. Right there in my own home is where it was, Brother Lonnie, and there was liquor in the house. And I began to get into that. And then I got out there with my friends, and I got into a little, smoking a little bit of dope. And then he did an high glory to God, and the old devil began to work in my life. I want you to know I tried about everything that there is out there, and the further that I went into that, the worse things got. And I began to think, oh, there must be something out here more to life than what I'm getting out of it. And all those things did is left me more and more empty and more depressed. And there was nothing that would fill that emptiness, Brother Langston, and that void that I had in my life. And I was searching for it, but I couldn't find it. And out there in the world, world, all that it had for me is more and more emptiness. I want you to know, oh, how many times I thought, there has to be something, sister. There has to be something more to life than what I'm getting out of it. I want you to know when I received the Holy Ghost, I turned that bedroom light on, and that I had sought for so long, that feel for that empty and that void in my life had come into it, and it was the Holy Ghost. It was Jesus Christ in the person of the Holy Ghost, and it came in and it filled that void, and I turned that light on, and my eyes, Sister Adosha, were about this big around, and I had a smile across my face like I'd never seen, and that I'd been searching for. I couldn't find it out there in the world. You young people, listen to me. The devil, if he can get a hold to you and begin to get you, first off, he'll get you started drinking a little bit. And he'll get you off on some dope. And the things that you would never have thought that you would do in a sober mind. And I liken it to just like this. Listen to me, young people. I know what I'm talking about. And by the grace of God, I'm able to still tell you that I'm standing here delivered from that. But there is dope out here in the world now, children, that it eat and I, that you get on and barred a miracle of God. You won't ever get out of it. Do you hear what I'm telling you? And the old devil will drag you out, and he'll drag you further and further. And you might think that you never would cuss your mother or your daddy, but when he gets to liking it to like, just like, hold this just a second, son. You remember when you was just a little bitty child, and they bring you some Play-Doh, or maybe you little boys, some modeling clay. And when you first got to play Play-Doh or the modeling clay out, you couldn't do much with it because you got it out. And you begin to work with it. You begin to warm it up just a little bit. Then you could shape it into what you wanted it to be. That's the way that your mind is, young people. What he can't get you to do, he gets you on a little bit of dope. He gets you drinking a little bit. And in a little while, he'll get that mind and he'll begin to work with it a little bit. God, glory to God. He began to work with that mind. And you might think, whoa, I never would. What kind of a devil would steal from my mama and her daddy? And before you know it, you'll be in there going through mama or grandma's purse trying to get you a little bit of money so that you can get down there to the crack. God, glory to God. Or the dope dealer and get you a little bit of fix because that's all that you are and that's all that you consumed with. And you think, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, I never would hit my mother or my daddy or be abusive toward them. And he gets your mind on drugs. And before you know it, he's got that mind out and he's working it and he's shaping it and he's molding it. Hear what I'm telling you, because I want you to understand something. The sons of God set out one day. They met out to present themselves before the Lord, just like we have here tonight. And God looked and sitting right there amongst them. Guess who's sitting right there on the front seat? He'd have loved for me to not come over here. He'd love you to get tied up at work. But the old devil is sitting right there. He doesn't miss a service. And God says, from whence art thou, Satan? And you know what his answer was? From going up and down and to and fro. And the devil is going up and down and to and fro as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And you think because you're 12 or 13 years old that he hadn't got his eye on you. I want you to know he's got his eye on you. And he's looking to take you down and to destroy you. And mamas and daddies, let me just say this. I may have said it the last time I was over here, but I'm going to say it again because it's necessary. You know where your children are at. You know what they're doing. And you give them a time to be home. And you, if you let them have a phone, you get that phone and you look through it and you see who they're associating with and who they're talking with. And every once in a while, they're going to want to go somewhere and you have to tell them no. And they're going to buck up, Brother Langston, and they're going to say, well, I hate you. Say, well, that's perfectly all right. I love you. And you still are not going. Because I'm going to tell you something. When they are laying in the morgue and they're taking them out there and they're letting them down in a casket, into a vault and they're ready to throw the dirt on top of them, it's evermore too late to do anything about them then. Do you understand what I'm telling you? And Satan wants to destroy your children. They grow up and you can't do a thing about them once they're gone out of your house. But I'm going to tell you something. While they're in your house, they're your responsibility. And if you have to tell them no, then you tell them no. What's standing between you and salvation tonight? Go and sin no more. Except you repent. Thank you, son. I appreciate that. Except you repent, you are going to perish. And the devil will complicate this thing up. But if you hadn't received the Holy Ghost, I want you to understand this. You have not repented. And when you do, the Holy Ghost is coming in, and the devil and every evil devil that he's got cannot keep it from coming. 16th chapter of Mark, 17th verse, these signs shall follow them that believe. Open your Bible. Are any of them following you? If they're not, then Jesus says you are an unbeliever. And if that's the case, when you come before that judgment, you're going to hear, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. I'm done, brother. I appreciate y'all's prayers and patience.